Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Dave and me.
John. Dave. Barnes.
McLaughlin.
Hi.
John.
Yeah.
Taking care of yourself isn't always easy, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
But it
don't get me started.
Well, just let me...
You know, okay, sorry.
But it should at least be simple.
Simple.
That's why, for the last few years, John, me and you, we've been drinking AG every day. No exceptions, okay?
Yeah, I do it French.
It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes us feel energized, focused, and ready to take on the day.
And it tastes so good. I always want to do two scoops.
Don't,
because that's what I do.
You'd be too strong.
Baskin Robbins. I know. I know. And because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, mm-hmm. minerals, mm-hmm. pre and probiotics,
ooh.
Right? And more. That's not even all of it.
Yeah.
There's so much more that I'm just going to say more. it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple.
Oh, John, you have a way with words.
Thank you.
Let me ask you something.
Please.
Why do you personally trust AG1 to support your whole body health?
See, I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
I've been waiting months for you to ask.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. It's because with AG1, I know what I'm getting. And I'll tell you what I'm getting. I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, nutrients from whole foods. I don't like anything if it's not whole.
Don't give him half foods.
Don't give me half foods. I like to think of it as like a nutritional insurance, if you will, Dave.
An insurance,
yeah. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of the day. Now, Dave, let me ask you a question.
Let's do it. Let's party.
Okay. What makes AG1 a simple part of your daily routine?
Well, hold on. Let me get this paper out. I've had this sort of ready.
Oh, that's your
journal. John, you know, I'm just a few years removed from my college days. Now, I feel like I'm reading it too rote.
Yeah, just read it normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I start to notice I may need a little more nutrient support than I used to, especially with all the busyness of life, with work, kids, how much I work out,
lawn
skateboarding,
care.
Lawn care, guitar, skateboarding. But AG1 covers my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics. You've already said this.
I've said it many times. Yeah.
Antioxidants and whole food. Don't give me half.
No.
Source nutrients.
What, the whole thing?
I know if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost.
Yeah. If there's one product that we had to recommend to elevate your health, y'all, it's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long.
So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs.
Places you could go.
5 different places or one place 5 times. With your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/dadville. That's drinkag1.com/dadville. Check it out. Oh, John, you look and you're about to sound so refreshed. There it is.
It feels like we're doing an ad right now.
I know.
People probably think we're doing an ad, but we're not.
Well, what is
this is kind of an ad.
I was going to say, what is every podcast but an ad for Dadville?
It's really just an ad for Dave Barnes, and I'm just kind of helping you. That's how I feel.
I was wondering how long it would take for us to get here.
Yeah.
And for you.
And I knew early on, I remember saying to my counselor, it'll probably take about 150 episodes.
This is the problem always with doing Dadville with you, John, is that I laugh a lot. But especially problematic today is that I have got a serious, like, deep cough happening. And so there's going to be a lot of Jason, our wonderful, esteemed, talented.
I tell you what.
Producer.
Every day the sun rises, I love Jason Shadrick a little bit more.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have some editing in this. I'm just going to apologize to y'all, because if I get tickled, which John is one of the chief ticklers
in my
life.
I'm the tickle monster.
You are the tickle.
You've got the cough going on. Can you tell that I still have a little bit of stuffiness going on?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's just a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm up there too.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're going to power through. John, tell me this.
Okay.
Looking refreshed, not necessarily sounding refreshed.
Yeah.
How was Christmas? There it is.
There it is. Jason, let's keep that one in. Christmas was... I'm going to say Christmas was great.
Wow. Okay. Why did I say wow?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I feel offended by that.
Yeah, that's fair.
A little bit.
That's fair.
And no, I think you could say wow, because it's, you know, I've got an 11-year-old, an 8-year-old. Christmas is high stakes. It's like,
couldn't be said
if
better.
You come out of it saying Christmas was great, that deserves a wow.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah, that's true.
It's not a foregone conclusion
it's not easy
that
to
it
do.
Would be wow.
It's not easy to do.
I felt great about Amy's gifts.
Ooh.
Which, it's not like... I feel like I can say that because that's no credit to me. Yeah. I just went out and got the things she told
she
me
asked
to get.
For it, but you got them all. You had to go physically do that.
Yeah, I did. Most of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you had to receive them.
Yeah. And keep track of them and wrap them.
There you go.
And then put her name on it and keep track of where that was.
Yep. Which you laugh.
No.
Not always easy.
I'm saying that with
honestly.
A straight face,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah. Not always easy. Like, where did I hide that present is a real thing.
Yes.
/ I forgot to put the tag on this one. This is going to be interesting in a couple days when this gets open.
It's like, as songwriters, you'd think we would know that when we say to ourselves, I'll remember that.
Oh.
You're not going to remember
that facility, that part, that little part of the business, that little, like, so, it's, keep going. Where was I going? The analogy I was going for was that wing of the business building. That's what I was trying to say. It's been shut down. It's been abandoned for millennia. There's nobody in that place.
Oh my gosh.
I just want to keep up.
I just want to listen to that. Oh my gosh. That got me.
What? Gosh.
Okay. Jason, can you loop that just a couple times?
Yeah, at the end.
Of the business.
And then the
okay. Anyway, Christmas was great. This was a big Christmas because Livy, sweet Livy, my youngest, has been wanting bunnies for I don't know how long.
She's wanted somebody to love.
She wants somebody to love.
I was going.
That's a co-write there.
Somebody to love.
No, let's keep it in my catalog if you can.
Look what you did.
Yeah.
I'm there.
That's a song that Dave and I wrote together on Angst and Grace. Anyway, and I was like, hard no. Not even...
On the song? That day, it felt like you really liked it.
Yeah, it is hooky. No, but I'm like, no, we're not getting bunnies. We don't have any place to put bunnies. What? I just have no context for bunnies. If you say like a dog, then it's like, I know what that is. Yeah. I don't know what it's like to have bunnies. She really wanted bunnies. I mean, for a long time. It was like researching online and writing like book reports and then like presenting them to us multiple times. It was so cute. And she wore us down. I mean, she got it.
Was it a wore us down or wore you down?
She wore me down.
There it is. There it
Amy
is.
Amy was like, it was definitely that whole like, well, you got to convince Dad. And she did it, to her credit. And now we have two bunnies.
Fast forward to yesterday.
Yeah, we went and got them yesterday.
And where one, would you tell that quick story?
Yeah, one got out. We took them, we like had to drive like an hour away to get them at this rabbit tree, which is a
rabbit tree?
A rabbit tree. We got them.
Wow.
We brought them back. They were like in the van for like a, you know, an hour and a half. So we were like, let's take them to the backyard, let them kind of run around, go to the bathroom.
Oh.
We can all go to the bathroom. And there are a couple spots in our fence. I mean, it's all fenced in, but you know of those couple spots.
You've got where it's perfect like, rabbit holes, honestly.
Yes, we really do. One of those rabbits got through one of those holes and went to our neighbor's yard that is like, I don't know. It's like the worst possible yard for the rabbit to get in because it's covered
nothing but pythons.
That would have been slightly worse, but not much. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like 200 square feet of just thick brush.
Wow.
And I just spent a lot of money on this rabbit. Also, Livy is gonna die if this thing runs away. I have got to get this thing. I was in there for 15 straight minutes, just diving for this bunny. Like
in the brush.
In the brush. I mean, like breaking branches, just like, I'm not even, I'm in like, I'm in just beast mode. I can't even feel. It's one of those things where, like, afterwards you're, like, seeing all the scratches, and you're I didn't feel a thing in there. Anyway, it was high drama. And I finally got the bunny.
Yeah. Because, like, every time you would get close, it would just dart, right?
Yes. And that thing, you can't, like, I've got it in my hands, and then it, like, wiggles out. Anyway, got the bunny. Livy was, like, in tears.
Oh.
And she was so happy. Like, it was, like, at the same time, like, I came out of the brush with the bunny in my hands, and she's, like, her whole face is all puffy, and she's been crying this whole time, but she's so happy because I have the bunny.
Is it a crying at... And it could be all, but is it a crying that she lost the bunny, or that you, she was seeing her dad not be
struggle
able
to? So much? Yeah. That's not
what
something
if you sat
anyone
down with her
should
after,
see.
And you're like, honey, I'm so sorry. That was so traumatic. Bunny, she's like, oh, no, Dad, it wasn't the bunny.
The bunny is fine. I just hated seeing you like that.
Am I safe? Am I safe in life, Dad?
Is there another guy that could kind of... watch over the house.
Oh my gosh. There's this really strong dad at school.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was high drama. But we got bunnies. You know, it's like your dog situation where it's like we start out with this hard no.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I'm running through the brush in our neighbor's yard trying to get this bunny that there I'm like, is. I will give anything to get this bunny.
Yeah.
That I didn't want.
And don't bunnies live like 50 years?
They live a long time.
Yeah.
They live like 10 to 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be empty nesters with these bunnies.
You know, you and these, yep.
So,
cut to a decade from now, I'm in the front yard, and I look over, and I see you just releasing bunnies. Just into 12 South.
They're
bunnies. We look at each other, nothing is said. I nod, you close the gate, you take the cage inside the house, nothing is ever
no,
said.
I just throw the cage, like, in the alley. This is someone else's problem now. They are really cute.
Yeah, they are.
They're really cute. So, but it was great. We went up
shows,
to Indiana.
Shows.
Oh, yeah, played a lot of shows. November, December was really busy for me, show-wise. Yeah, I played one of the, like, most memorable...
Amazing.
My favorite shows of all time.
So great.
It was
so
the
great.
Same night as your big show here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I loved it so much. It was at this... It was in Carmel, Indiana, at this beautiful place called the Palladium, which yours was here in Nashville at the Skirmahorn. Mm-hmm. Same designer, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like architect, whatever. It was just amazing. I loved it. Mm. It was so great. The band was awesome. You know, Amy and the girls were there. It was so great.
Were they the band?
In a way, they were.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like audibly, but I hired a friend of mine who is a photographer to shoot some shots, and he got this great picture of Livy like standing up and like clapping.
Oh,
and like
my
you can
gosh.
See me on stage, you know, kind of waving to the crowd. And
my favorite, Brooke Pleasant always shoots my Nashville shows, and she she'll always get one a year of the kids side stage watching me.
Yeah.
And it's worth the whole show, that shot. Every year.
I love that. I've seen your kids watching you on stage. It's such a, like, precious thing to see. I love watching the crowd's reaction to someone on stage. It's like, I don't know. It's like it's all, you can almost, like, feel all of their anticipation leading up to this moment.
Yeah.
Like, they've done all the things. They've, like, bought the ticket. They got their friends together. And now they're seeing you or Matt Carney or whoever. It's really cute. And when it's your kids, it's like...
It's amazing.
It's really great. So how about you?
Great. It was good. Oh, wow. That was fast.
Oh, wow.
I went from...
Well, you said great, and then you downgraded immediately.
Well, I felt like you. I was like, man, I'm coming in two wheels with great.
Yeah.
It was really good. Andy and I kind of did a recap the other night. And we were just both saying how I told you and Amy this last night. Like, the kids just, they got along really well, which, and I got to give a shout out here, okay? Friends of the pod.
Yep.
Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect.
Love these guys. They've become friends, which has been really fun. They are just such a, so the kids every morning would come down and watch like a few episodes of Dude Perfect. What happened, which was so fun and unexpected, was my three started filming trick shots and episodes like Dude Perfect does. And mm-hmm. it would take hours a day. Mm-hmm. And Ben, my oldest, would get our little iPad and got really good in iMovie editing. And it was just, they had so much fun together. And it's, you know, I've texted the guys to tell them that. But I mean, I'm just so thankful for something like that that's really safe for them to watch, that makes them then want to get off a screen and go do something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even though they're technically using the iPad. But
yeah, how do you feel about the iMovie thing? Because Luca and Livy make movies.
Yeah.
Like they started making these things, called, which your kids have started, called 6 O'Clock News.
Oh, yeah.
And Luca has, she's gotten pretty
yeah,
good
I know,
at editing
I know.
And putting like
it's
sound
amazing.
Effects.
It's amazing.
Transitions. And I hate it when they're on a phone or a screen. And I want to be clear. I'm by no means, I'm not trying to say we don't do screens. We do screens.
Yeah.
I just hate it when they're on them.
Yeah.
But when they're making a movie.
Yeah, it doesn't feel the same to me.
Yeah, it feels like they're being creative. They're on a screen. This is probably one of the best ways for them to interact.
Yeah. Yeah.
With an
with
iPhone.
Technology. Yeah, that's a great point. So. Well, it becomes an instrument. It's no longer an entertainment device.
Yeah.
It's like a guitar.
It's not like they're passively watching
no, they're
something.
They're heavily engaged.
Yeah. Now, how are the trick shots? Are they any good?
Some of them were actually really great.
Really?
It was really cute. Yeah. And Xana was doing it too, which was really fun. So I feel like because of that, we just didn't have a lot of like high drama in mm-hmm. fighting, which was great. We didn't quite get to Lord of the Flies, which is always to me.
Did all that tension just transfer to you and Annie?
And trick shots. Which was real. I did not see that coming. I'm going to be honest with you. And she is so athletic.
I knew
athletic.
You guys could do it.
Yeah. It was really, she's so athletic. So that was really great. So I do feel like we had a good, like, you know, Annie even said, she's like, I could have done a few more days of this because they went back yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. It was really great. And I, you know, as they're getting older, you know, you've got new problems, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Boy, that's a terrible thing to say on Dadville.
No, I think that's 100%
opportunities
accurate.
For growth.
New. just new challenges.
Challenges.
Yeah.
But there's a very real sense of we're getting out of the phase one problems,
mm-hmm.
you know, like whatever those things are. So it was good. I only did a couple shows. I didn't do as many this year because I'm doing my own shows throughout the year next year.
Oh, yeah. You have
get
a lot of shows.
Barnes tour. Go there and buy all the tickets you can.
So I'm doing my own shows. So we want to stay out of market so I could do those, which answers some emails and things I've gotten of why we didn't do more Christmas shows. Because here's it. Let's just give a quick read in on how the industry works, John. You don't want to play a market. One, you can't legally play a market 90 days. What's that called?
What is it? No compete clause?
Where you can't.
Or radius clause?
It's something. And, you know, if you play a market, you're supposed to not play it for X amount of days.
Yeah.
Because.
So, like, if Dave Barnes wants to play Indianapolis.
Yep.
And so they would find his booking agency would reach out to a buyer or a concert promoter. Let's say I'm the concert promoter. So I would buy the show, basically. I would say, here's you negotiate on a price. And then I say, okay, Dave can't play. Like, if the show is February 1st, he can't come up. So like a suburb of Indianapolis on January 5th and play a public show because that's going to compete with my show.
That's right. You know? And then before or after.
I just wanted to take the thing that you said and say it slower and longer.
You actually explained it.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Okay.
No, I'm glad you said that. That was really clear. So to your point, you can't do it before or after. So you have this weird you have this weird time in a city where you can't play again. And so I knew playing Christmas shows would sort of kill off me being able to play shows at least for the first half of the year in those markets. So, hence, I didn't only played a couple shows.
How many shows do you have up right now? It's quite a bit.
20, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
When is the first show?
John, look at you trying to promote my shows.
This month?
It is. Yeah, we do a run. It starts 24th in Charlotte. We got Charlotte, Raleigh, Chattanooga, night off, and then Atlanta.
Nice.
So, yeah, it'll be fun. So. That meant, unlike most years, I only did two shows. I did this thing in Gateway, at Gateway Church down in Fort Worth, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. I'd never done anything like that. We did 6 Christmas Eve services, which was nuts. Got to hang with Mark Hill of For Him fame, which was just one of the greatest people of all time. It was really fun. I'm not going to lie. I had a lot of anxiety about it. Not because of Gateway. I'd just never been gone for 2 days during Christmas. I was gone the 22nd through the 24th. And that's,
the 22nd?
Like, yeah. I mean, that's precious time. And so I carried a lot of weird sort of like guilt and whatever, but.
Easy.
I've carried a lot of pride. What are you looking for?
I was gone a lot. Creativity. In December.
Well, no.
Don't come at me with that.
No. I need to be clear. I'm gone a lot in December too, usually. Mm-hmm. I mean, weekends. I've just never been gone that close to Christmas. I've never been gone on Christmas Eve.
There we go.
Morning Christmas Eve.
Oh, I would never do that.
Oh, the tables have turned. You suddenly reversed.
And you got home. Two can play this, Dave Lawrence. You're going to come at me.
Shoot, here we go. I feel like a character in a Disney movie from the 50s. Like when they get excited, they start coughing. Well, how's that doing? So anyway, I did carry a lot of anxiety around that because I was just like, gosh, is that too close? Is it like too...
Yeah. Yeah.
Is going to interfere with like core memories for my kids?
Yeah.
That's tough.
It's all like...
Yeah.
You always are faced with like... I mean, that's like high stakes time on the calendar.
Yeah.
But you're like, but if I do it, I mean, this pays for Christmas.
Yeah, it was tricky that way. So, but it ended up being great. It was great. Like, there was no drama around it. I was there. The church did a great job, and they were so fun to work with. So, and then New Year's was really chill. I mean, we don't really.
Yeah, what did you guys do? New Year's Eve.
We went to some friends. We went to the Ryans. Shout out to the Ryans, listeners of the pod. We
love the steakhouse.
Yes, and we met there in the parking lot. We actually didn't even go in.
Yeah, because they're not open. New Year's Eve. I'll tell you that.
If you go real talk. If you go to the garbage, bread stays good for a few days, and so
you want to check the weather because you don't want it to be too hot. It'll get kind of moldy.
No, we went over to our friends, the Ryans, which was really fun, and. But, did a early, left at 10,
Yeah, we went over to our friends, the Wards, and we were gone at 8:30.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Respect.
I mean, we got there around 7:45, so it was a good hang.
Australia had been New Year's for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, no, I feel like there's a lot of shame around this.
Really?
I have no desire to stay up till midnight.
Oh.
I don't care that it's New Year's Eve.
No.
I mean...
I'm almost prideful about being asleep when the New Year starts.
Yeah.
Like, what a great way to bring in the New Year. Resting.
Right? I mean, I don't want to stay up that late.
Yeah.
Especially with my kids. I don't want my kids to be up that late. Then we're starting the year with them being tired and cranky.
And for us, we started school the 3rd. So you don't have a lot of recovery time there.
Right.
Which Xana did stay there for the night, which is really cute. And I think they made it to midnight, but they slept a little late, and then she took like a 3-hour nap that day. Or no, that was the day before actually to prep. True story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she navigated okay. But it's tricky.
Okay. So, Dave, let's see. I'm going through my list here. Should we do highlights for last year or goals for this year?
Let's do highlights last year. Let's wrap up 2023.
Okay. Do you have yours locked and loaded?
Am I on death's doorstep?
I don't know.
Sounds like it.
If you're going to go out, though, let's recap the best highlights of last year.
That's good. I like where you went there.
I mean, I got to say the highlight for me and our family was going to Israel last year. We went to Israel.
That's incredible.
Yeah, last January. And it was like a trip that had been talked about and planned for years and years and years. It's Amy's... my in-laws.
So cool.
Wanted to take the whole family, and they were intentionally waiting for like the kids to be old enough, all the grandkids to be old enough, so that they could actually experience it and remember it. But they didn't want to be, her parents didn't want to be too old to not be able to go because it's a lot of travel.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And just probably walking around. Like you don't want to be so old that you're like,
No, I mean, it was a lot of... This was like an educational trip.
Yeah.
It's like this was like a pilgrimage to the Holy Land and we had two guides. We had he's actually a Palestinian guide who was
you know, kind of given his take, and then we had our guide from the States, and the two of them have worked together a bunch, and it was, they were like lecturing all day. We go to all these different sites. It was so, it was such a great trip. I mean, we went to just the places. It has brought like so many things to life, you know, like the Southern Steps and the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. like so many, the Sea of Galilee, all these places that we went. It's, I mean, I'm so grateful that we went, that Amy's parents took us, and that we were able to go when we went, because, I mean, we wouldn't have been able to go, obviously, this year if we had postponed it one more year. So that was totally a highlight.
Yeah. Thank y'all for listening.
What was yours? Your Adidas?
Adidas. I mean, there... what is the way to say this? I sort of thought of it as things I learned.
Uh-huh.
So, because they're not highlights. One of them, especially with March. Yeah, that was a big thing I thought about, was March 27th.
March Madness.
Just sort of like, well, yeah.
There I go, making a joke.
Oh, no, you know, with what happened, because as I was reflecting on it, I was kind of like, I actually had this dilemma. It's funny you said that about highlights. I was like, man, it'd be fun to post some things on Instagram, just a fun reel of like fun moments of the year. Because, you know, the album got released, mm-hmm. and Lady A tour. There was just so much really, and then the travel we did as a family. Mm-hmm. Just, I should start with that. But, you know, there was just a lot of really great stuff. But with March 27th happening, it was mm-hmm. just so hard to go, how do you do that? Not to make light of, or not to make light of other things when you had this horrific thing happen.
Right.
You know? So I was just like, I just don't think I want to. So as I was thinking back, it was interesting kind of going, how do I navigate the year knowing that was the biggest part of it, like as mm-hmm. Annie said the other night, and hearing her say this, I was like, it's so true. She's like, you know, it's the worst thing that's ever happened in my life.
Yeah.
And it is. So I think, like, I think the thing that I have thought about with that, and one of the, you know, like, what's the way to say it? Like, takeaways from the year, especially in light of that day, is just how, I was talking to another dad about this the other day, is just how grateful it's made me for time with my kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think I'm pretty good about that. Like kind of trying to be, I'm not great at being present, but just having some sense of like, I'm thankful for them. I'm yeah. thankful for today. I'm thankful for, you know, going on trips, you mm-hmm. know, but man, I mean, I think walking through that season and still doing it, it has just really made me thankful. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I'm very cognizant of my time with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, and a dad said it so well. He's like, you just don't know. So every day you're just like, this is what I have and I want to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Because who knows what could happen later today, much less tomorrow.
Right.
So I do think one gift from that tragedy, for me has been like a real sense of like, man, I'm just so thankful.
Yeah.
I'm so, you know, like just being able to be with them and little things that probably didn't quite register before then really register now, you know, like mm-hmm. playing some of those Dude Perfect games with yeah. them or whatever. It just feels like, or just watching a movie or something, you know, it just mm-hmm. feels like, gosh, this is not everybody's experience from that day.
Yeah.
You know, so I am thankful for that in light of how hard and heavy and nightmarish that day was and still is. That is one of the things that I'm like, you know, I think I'll always take from this year is just how thankful I am. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the thing that we all know conceptually. I mean, we can say it all day long. Like you gotta, like it goes
yeah.
by fast.
Yeah.
You're not promised tomorrow. But when you have an experience like you guys yeah. had, yeah, that makes it real tangible.
Yeah. And you know...
And you would never wish that on someone.
No.
But there is a, you know, a positive to take away, you know?
Yeah. And you know, one other quick thought that I think to your point that I thought about the other day, you know, it just came out of nowhere, you know? So it's like, it started just like today did. Yeah. You know? And so I think that's what's so, it's one of the things so heavy about it is it's not something you get to prep for. It's not something you see the storm brewing and you kind of know like, all right, buckle up. It's just like, it just came out of nowhere. So I think that's even more why I'm so thankful on this side of it. It's like, you know, things can just change so quickly. So I really want to be present for whatever I've got right now. You know what I mean?
John, Dave. See, you keep coming in a little earlier than I like you to.
It's written as John, it says come.
We got to rehearse later.
Oh, okay, okay. Question. I like to start these with questions, John.
Sure.
If ButcherBox could grant you one wish, wish for the new year, what would it be?
Peace of mind. Okay. I had it locked and loaded, Dave. Wow. I need peace of mind in 2024.
Okay.
And I need it to come from ButcherBox.
John, this is crazy. I have great news for you.
Tell me.
How does humanely raised, high quality meat,
I'm listening,
and seafood you can trust sound?
I tell you what. I'll tell you what in three words. It sounds good.
Oh, love that.
But let me follow up with another question.
I love you, but yeah.
And I love you so much, Dave,
okay, that's fine.
That I'm going to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is that high-quality meat 100% grass-fed?
What do you think they're doing, John?
Hang on, I got more.
Okay.
And is the chicken organic and free-range? I mean, I want those chickens to be free.
Running amok.
Right. Dave, is the pork raised crate-free? And is the seafood wild-caught?
Yep.
If you could possibly answer yes to all those questions, then ButcherBox would indeed have granted me peace of mind for this new year.
John,
tell me.
John, buckle up, Crash Test Dummy, because guess what? Not only is that a yes to every question,
oh my goodness,
but the double B, ButcherBox, also guarantees that its meat has no antibiotics or added hormones.
All right, there it is. ButcherBox has
granted
me peace of mind.
Unlike me in middle school, a lot of hormones.
Yeah.
John. Yeah. That's just me. Anyway, I should get back to the point. Listen, that's great, John.
We lost you there.
Now, I'm just thinking about middle school and then Titanic, and it was a whole thing. Now that you have peace of mind, why and what do you say? Not why. Don't answer that part.
Yeah.
Answer this part.
Yeah.
What do you say? We cook up, but buckle up, my soon-to-be famous TRS, which is turkey Reuben skillet recipe that I found on ButcherBox.com.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds great, actually. First, I want to make you my already famous Denver frittata.
Oh, that is your masterpiece, John. So light
and
so fluffy.
Fluffy. I know. Everyone says it.
Yeah.
Listen, great recipes and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value.
Yeah.
Plus, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, hacks. Now, Dave, it's time to tell them about our special deal.
Oh, couldn't wait for you asking that. ButcherBox is giving us a special deal here at Dadville. New members get 2 pounds of ground beef, 3 pounds of chicken breasts, or 2 pounds of salmon, okay, for free in every order for a whole year.
That's insane.
Plus, get $20 off your first order.
Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dadville and use the code DADVILLE to choose your free offer and get $20 off.
John, we all love summer, and our kids especially love summer, but we lose that consistent schedule of when kids are in school, and that can create some summer childcare problems.
You know what? Thankfully, though, Dave, there's a solution.
What?
Windy. That's W-Y-N-D-Y. Listen, it's an app that connects families to college student nannies literally in minutes. These nannies are background checked, interviewed, and honestly, just awesome, Dave.
That's right, John. And Windy has been around for 7 years and has been used by over 20,000 families. There are hundreds of qualified college student nannies on Windy near you, working full or part-time.
All you have to do is go to windy.com/dadville to start searching for a nanny. And as a special offer, they're going to knock off $50 off your search if you go through that link. Windy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies.
Ooh.
And no ongoing fees.
Okay, so here's how it works. Go to windy.com/dadville to start your search. A Windy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. You can choose the one you like.
Get started now, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summer.
That's right.
Go to wyndy.com/dadville.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know you could stretch that far. That's amazing.
I can't. That's actually a friend of mine.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of your friends, do you ever bring your kids to the grocery store?
Oh, Dave, that's like the rookiest of rookie mistakes. Oh. No. In fact, you shouldn't even bring yourself to the grocery store.
Whoa.
It's Thrive Market all the way, Dave.
That was a trick question, and that is also the right answer, John. Thrive Market is our go-to for all our grocery and household essentials, and the convenience of ordering everything on their website or app and getting everything delivered to your doorstep quickly is a huge stress reliever.
Huge stress reliever. And the products are amazing. Mm-hmm. Plus, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting high-quality products so that you can shop worry-free.
Yes.
I don't like to shop worried. You know what I mean?
Worry shopping is the worst.
You just place an order for some gluten-free items, like using the gluten-free filter.
Ooh.
Boom, it just gives you all the gluten-free stuff.
Wow.
I got FitJoy grain-free pretzels.
Yeah.
PIP corn white cheddar cheese balls.
Guys, for those of us in the loop, it's called pip corn.
No, I call it PIP. It's, a Midwestern regional thing.
Totally.
And I got some Lotus ramen noodles.
You are off. You're just off.
I'm off to the races,
you are
Dave.
Crazy, John. Not only do I save time shopping as a Thrive Market member, I also save money on every single grocery order. Over 30% each time on average.
That's crazy.
They even have a price match guarantee and a deals page that changes weekly.
That's right, Dave. In fact, on my last order, not to be competitive about it, but my last order of gluten-free items, the cost was $46. I saved $11.
I saved 10 last time. Plus, when you join Thrive Market, and you can enjoy it and join it, John. I was trying to make both those
words
work.
It's not an either or.
Guys, it's choose your own adventure, okay? And when you join and enjoy Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give.
Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/dadville for 30% off your first order, plus free $60 gift.
That's THRIVE market.com/dadville. thrivemarket.com/dadville. And join today.
So, things that we're learning. I've got a little list here as well.
Oh, look at you.
We're going to go back and forth.
Back and forth. Yes, let's do that. I like that.
All right. These are in no particular order.
Yeah. Because this is still with an eye on 23. Like, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of learning. Here's some things we learned last year.
Well, yeah.
Still learning.
Things
always
that
learning.
I am definitely still learning.
Yes. Yeah.
Things that I'm learning and want to be good at.
Yeah.
And better at. How to be a better husband, which I think really hinges on just, for me personally, at times when I feel like I have not been my best self as a husband. I'm like, it seems like every time it's like, just listen and empathize more.
Hmm.
You know, those are the two big things that I feel like I need to be. I mean, maybe in a marriage, it's like, that's one of the main things that we really want is like, we want the other person to listen, to like, to feel like they're seeing us, you know? And sometimes I can. Even though I don't feel like I'm terrible at that, but there are some times.
I was going to say, I'm not trying to just boost our numbers by saying how great of a dad you are. But I wouldn't see that as problem spots for you.
I mean, but, you know, I think at times I'm good at it, and at times I can be. Here's the thing. I think all these. I put this later on in my list about actually being a better dad. And one of the things that I. Not to jump ahead, but one of the things that I see as being a real hurdle, the thing that gets in the way of me being a good dad in those moments where I'm like, where I'm at my worst.
Yeah.
It 9 times out of 10, it's because of stress in other areas.
Yeah, right.
So I really, as I was like kind of thinking about this list and writing these things down, you really back up and you see how everything is connected.
Yeah.
And I think when I get stressed about other things, when I'm feeling overwhelmed with whatever, with work, with, you know, anything, it can take away. And often, like, your spouse is the person that gets nixed first because they're the closest, they're the safest. they're the person who, they're always there. So it's like they sort of get the short end of the stick because you're preoccupied. I'm preoccupied with other things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so sometimes I can just, I can miss it on just that simple act of just listening.
Yeah,
and empathizing.
I get that. Yeah. One of the things, I keep this list of things I'm learning every year in every, like in the notes app. And in one of them that I really circled and was like, man, this is something I need to keep thinking about. But we're not trying to become more independent. We're trying to become more dependent with the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And that's not hardwired into me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always trying to like just kind of island myself off to where it works. And I have my little system out there and it's
right.
doing its thing. And I'm a little right. sovereign nation of Dave that's always. And I think the more I thought about that a lot this year, it's like my natural North Star is to get independent, self-sufficient, self-sustaining. And I think the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I'm realizing it's wildly the opposite. Like mm-hmm. I'm at my best when I'm the most dependent, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's not a posture that's very popular or, you know, propagated in this American culture is
totally,
you know, so that's something I'm trying to think about.
Well, you know, Amy and I were talking about this the other day. If we lived like the first church, that what you're describing would be more, it would be easier because we would all be in it together.
Yeah.
It's like you sell your guitars or whatever. It's all going in the pot. We're all living together. We're all taking care of everyone's needs as a community.
Yeah.
And we read that like in Acts and we're like, man, what a what a like North Star.
Yeah.
But we live in America in 2024. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's tricky because we as believers are trying, we're sort of, and I'm not saying that we all, I'm not saying anything right now. I'm just saying we sort of have this ideal as like the early church, but we're trying, sort of trying to like stride the fences here and live both. How do you kind of hold on to what's important while at the same time keeping an eye on our property values going up?
Right.
What new car are we getting? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
It's interesting. I think it's something, which is funny because I didn't plan on saying this, but it absolutely sort of connects to this idea. If there's something I feel so strongly and it gathers in strength every year, it is this idea that we really are supposed to be together. Like God really did make us as humans to be symbiotic creatures. We are not independent creatures. In fact, independence is basically where everything starts to go bad.
Like
pretty much everything goes bad, you know? And so I think when you think communally, like you're saying, I've thought about this so much in the last really few years, but I think that's why the church is such a big deal. And I know for probably a lot of people listening, who knows the, you know, the associations you have with the word church and a lot of hurt. And I totally get that. But I do think still, We're just meant to be together. We really are. And I'm speaking to humans, but I think I would say especially as Christians, like God really wants us together. We're a body of people. You know, we're not little islands like I was joking about earlier about myself. And so I think as I get older, I just understand that so much more. I think being involved, you know, at Covenant like Annie and I are, we just get, is it hard? Is it awkward? Is it time consuming? Is it a pain in the neck? Yes, like 100%. But I'm rarely ever leaving being with those people feeling like it was a waste of time.
Yeah, right.
I feel seen, a part of something. And so I think like my encouragement to anybody listening, I just think that's something I would hope you'd think about this year. If you've found yourself separated from church or whatever, I think, you know, I laughed with a buddy of mine. I was like, I can't really prove this scripturally, but I do think, and maybe I can, but I do think if you sat with the Lord and said, hey, why do you want us to get together for church? I just think if he gave you a graph or like a pie graph, I think it would be like 75% of it would be just being together.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd be like a word that shared praise and worship. And that is that's a bit, I don't mean to minimize those things. Like we don't need to go there for us. We go there to praise and honor God. But I do think baked into that experience is God going, I made you guys to be together. That's why I want you to be together. It's not to, you know, I think we can get messed up with reasons for the church. Mm-hmm. And I think a huge part of it is just because it physically, at a molecular level, it's good for us to be together.
Totally.
You know,
our old church back up in Indianapolis before we moved to Nashville, we had small groups, and one of the people in our small group asked our head pastor at the time, shout out to Todd Fisher, who we love. She was like, what's the point of small group?
Wow.
And he was like, so that when you move, you have some people to help you move.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know if everyone who hears that, if it will hit them the same way, but to me, I was just like,
that's great.
That is it. It's community. And I feel like we could talk about this for a long, long, long time, but
let's do it.
Back to the living in America in 2024. I feel like the things that I believe matter to God in my life, in your life, in our lives, aren't the things that often stress me out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we just did this renovation on our house. I mean, I can make a real solid argument for why we needed to do that. Now, need is in quotes. But it's like, it makes a lot of sense to do. I don't feel like we're being reckless, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we've got this renovation that costs a lot of money, and that stresses me out. And Amy and I were talking the other day, and, you know, she's like, we're going to be taken care of. It's all going to be great. And I was like, here's the thing. I think if we had to like sell our house and move in with my parents or something like that, I truly believe that would be a real time of growth for me.
Mm.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think me paying off this loan that I got for this renovation, I don't think God, if I can speak for God, I'm not sure he's got his eye on that, being like, we got to make sure we make those payments. I don't think that matters to him. I think the things that really matter are he wants me to not be tied in with that or have my identity locked into being in this house or being in this neighborhood or whatever. I think that's where it gets kind of tricky, because I'm like, I think the things that matter aren't what I stress about sometimes. You know what I mean? And I think that the things... If you were like, trust that the Lord's got us, I'm like, he's got us, but not in the way that is going to be comfortable.
Like a 30,000 foot view got us.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He's not moving me toward the comfort that I want.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it can just be really interesting, you know, living in this world that we live in.
Well, and I'll say this quickly. I think that I didn't put it down, but
go ahead.
I put down one thought. One of the things that I almost said is exactly that, that's something last year that I learned a couple of different ways, which is growth always comes from discomfort.
Yeah.
Like always.
Yeah.
It's so rare that something comfortable makes you grow in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think there were a few things last year that I really can point to go, man, that was like scary and hard. And on the other side, unbelievably helpful and life-giving. Mm-hmm.
All right, I kind of already said the better dad thing, keeping everything in life in check. My worst moments as a dad result in stress from all those other things. I want to, what I have written down is relax in my faith. Last year was, and I don't know what word to use, so what I've written here is active. Last year was one of the most active and most tumultuous times in my faith.
Oh, wow.
I would say. And I want to, I couldn't bring myself to write down the phrase faith journey. I just couldn't do it.
I think there has to be a flute playing for you to say that out loud.
Even though I'm like, that's what it is.
Yeah,
I just didn't want to write it. So I've made this whole thing about not writing it so that I could...
Yeah, yeah. Then say it.
For the record, I didn't write it. I want to enjoy this tumultuous kind of... Like, it's really unsettling. If I... in a totally fine way, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's better than inactivity, you know?
Hmm.
So I want to just kind of relax in that. Just go along with the ride. Keep moving forward, you know? And I think the thing that gives me anxiety about it is sort of this fear that, like, I'll be in some conversation with a bunch of Christians and we'll be talking and they'll be like, I think I've said this on here before, but they'll be like, wait a minute, what did you just say? And then they'll all take a step back and they'll be like, oh, you're not really a part of our
on a
group,
faith journey.
Are you?
You're not on our faith journey.
You're not on our faith journey. Why do you have so many questions? You know,
gosh, faith journey. Yeah, I get that. Do you mean that from, like, that you would say some? What is the fear there?
I think there's always been a part of, maybe not always, but in my adult life, there's always been a part of me. I'm the guy in the pew that's leaving with, I came in with 10 questions. I have like 48.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
And I personally am fine with that.
Yeah.
But I think that if like in a small group setting, if I just said everything that's popping into my brain, people in the small group would be like, why don't we get you into a different group so that we can kind of keep going with our agenda here? You know what I mean?
That is amazing.
So,
yeah, I think I'm going to come off the top up with this. One of the most encouraging things I've ever learned about our faith was when I taught a Sunday school once at Covenant on basically kind of like prayer and asking God questions. And I can't tell you how buoying it was for my faith, because if you look at all of the studs in the Bible who are also just awful people like we all mm-hmm. are, I was amazed. It was like, I didn't even mean for the journey to turn out because I was going to do prayer. But the more that I looked at, because I was like, well, the best way it feels like to learn about prayer is just how have people talked to God in the past? And so many of those interactions are people being accusatory, mean, mm-hmm. Mad.
Mm-hmm.
So many questions. It's not these postures of reverence. I mean, well, that's not fair. I think...
It's not always
irreverent. But there's a lot of like, what are you doing? You said mm-hmm. you were going to do this and you didn't. Or why are we still here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And no times do you ever really see God go, how dare you? I mean, when Sarah laughs, that's one of my favorite parts of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this angel's like, hey, you're going to have this baby. And then, she, you know, and she's over in the tent laughing. Like, I think a lot of us, for me, I would have been like, oh, he walks over and he's like, smote. You know, like,
right.
I touch her forehead and she turns nuts.
Right.
No, he's like, I get it. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so for me, it was this huge moment for me to realize that questions and authenticity is really what the Lord wants, not the sense of inauthentic reverence.
Right.
He would always rather deal. I mean, you look at Jesus dealing with people in the New Testament, the people he got the maddest at were the Pharisees, who that's exactly their posture.
Right. Right.
This thing in me that I have, which is like, I'm going to be reverent and look like everything's together. And he's like, stop. And then the people that came up to him were like, can you do this for me? Like, I don't even know if I believe. And he's like, see, now I can work with it. Or like, why have you done this? Like, that's a great question. Let's talk about why I've done it. You know, and so I think for me, that was really helpful, because I do have this thing in me that's like, I don't have any questions, or mm-hmm. what if I'm mad right now? And I think the Lord's just like, whatever you are, I already know.
Right.
Just be the thing.
Well, I have zero anxiety about with like, how does God feel about?
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, if I'm feeling it, it's there.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's in there.
I my only anxiety is where I fit in sort of this community of believers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's like no one is coming up to me with a microphone saying, what are your thoughts on predestination?
Yeah.
And then publishing them in some, you know, some blog or something. No one cares. But it's just an interesting feeling as Christians to be in these gatherings where people are talking and people are saying how they see certain things, you're hearing sermons, you're all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I can feel like I'm the odd man out.
Yeah.
Even though I know there's nothing unique about what's going on in my in my head. But and I feel I think that it's helpful to say that and to make that known to people because there are other want to hear that.
Yeah, you know.
There are other people who may not be feeling that at all, and God bless you.
Yeah.
And there may be some people who are like, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, that's I feel that. I think one of the last ones, I had this written in my notes, and this is something I thought about last year that I think I'm hopefully going to think more about this year. What if the answer to the prayer for encouragement, right? So I pray that a lot, just like for encouragement, is God humbling me. I think in many ways I've been able to really hear the encouragement and accept it because I was humbled enough to really hear and accept it. So this played out this year for me with this album release because, you know, I was and love the record. I'm so proud of it. And but you know, I had like really high hopes for it coming out. People would hear it and really get it, and it'd be this. And I kind of felt that building in me. And so I remember when we released the first couple singles, like, you know, it just wasn't quite the response I was hoping for, which I don't even know what the response was supposed to be. That's the problem. But I was pretty like bummed, and I'd prayed for encouragement before that, and like, Lord, just let this land, let people like it, let it be what I'm trying to make it. You know, it was a really ambitious record, so I was like, I want it to. And you know, after those first couple songs came out, and it was like, just wasn't doing what I'd hoped, I was just so discouraged. And I had this moment of clarity, though, that it felt like I realized that when people did say something about it, it meant so much. Like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, your encouragement, my friend's encouragement. And I had this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I think if I hadn't been discouraged and humbled,
right,
I would not have taken, I wouldn't have onboarded any of those encouragements. Because I'd have been like, well, yeah, I mean, I worked hard on this.
Yeah.
Like, this is the...
Yeah, it's a great record.
This is what comes from putting a bunch of time into something, hopefully. Right. People see it and think it's a quality thing or whatever. And it was really interesting because I remember literally where I was walking in front of the house and thinking about this. And I really felt like the Lord was like, Dave, no, this is how this works sometimes. Like, the humility that I'm... that you're experiencing is absolutely an answer to your prayer for encouragement. You are being encouraged because you've been humbled.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Which feels so like, it's just like, feels like
it's like boot camp.
Yes.
And then your first Snickers bar.
Yeah. There I go. Yeah. I mean, it really was. And so, you know, it's just the way God works. It's that weird thing that doesn't make sense. This is the upside down world of what we believe. And so I think it's been an interesting thing to think about moving forward, is like these ways that God answers prayers that have, that give you more than it. 'Cause it ended up being one of the sweetest seasons of my life with a record. Like, I was so encouraged. People were so kind and so encouraging, and, you know, so many sweet notes and all these things, you know, from people that I really took on. Like, it really meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would have. The exact same amount and notes and kind words would not have meant the same if I hadn't been discouraged and humbled first. You know, I think I would have been like, okay, well, just more of them then.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think moving forward, it's sort of your point about like holding things a little lighter, like being a little more okay with understanding that I don't know everything. And there's grace in that, you know, kind of like being okay with this comfort or not something not looking the way I think it's going to look at the moment, that really still may, everything may be okay, you know? And so that was a big, that was a huge moment for last year. I'm really hoping to kind of remember this year as I walk in, you know?
I mean, we could get like a bunch of artists' friends on here and we could just talk about release day.
Oh my gosh.
And just the minefield that that is.
Yeah. You know, too, I read a great, and we don't have to talk about this long, but I'll just say this quickly. I read a really interesting quote that made me think a lot about this, which I wonder, you know, if this resonates with you, too. But somebody, I think it might have been Ruben, said this, and I thought it was really, really insightful. Stuttered. Yes, just back in when he won in 2004. The difference between entertainment and art is that art is telling people things they didn't know before, challenging them, taking them to new places they didn't see. entertainment is about feeding back your preferences to you. And both are great.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
not a qualifier.
Right.
But I think, you know, when this record to me is a little more art than it is entertainment. And so I think the thing that he's sort of implying is that, you know, it's not going to have the same response as entertainment does.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to, it's a little more push and pull and prodding and discomfort to get you somewhere eventually that you really hopefully enjoy. And so I think that was also something I thought about a lot this year. Because there's, you know, I mean, you've done that. You've made records that you go, this is more entertainment. This is fun. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting songs out that this is like candy. It's so great. Right. It's immediate response. It's like, boom. And then you've made records, you're like, okay, like I'm really pushing here a little bit. Like this, I need you to go with me because there's a, you know.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like my last single that I put out, this is not a promotion, but it is out there and available for streaming. The only one that's like you're saying that is straight down the middle pop, you know, and this, I was actually working on a song last night, from my forthcoming album. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's hard to kind of parse out like where the fork in the road is for that, where like art goes this way, entertainment goes this way. But I think this is going to be wildly uninteresting because I'm just talking about a song that no one has heard yet. But there is like, there's this part in like the end of the chorus where I'm like, I know that I feel like the entertainment route would be to do this.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of want to go and do this instead.
Yeah.
You know, but it's hard to navigate those two things. Because once you know what the entertainment route might be, you always got in the back of your mind like, well, is that what makes the best song? Or what are my goals here? It's tricky.
The best version is actually probably both, right? Like I think about, obviously I've been thinking about the Beatles a lot lately, but it's both. I mean, Penny and A Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, Penny Lane, either one of those songs, they're both wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
You love listening to them, but they're also very artistic. So I think there is a nice, what you're doing with your new song, there's a centrifuge of both. I don't think it has to be, but
I think for me, the goal is to not even have those conversations in real time, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm the goal for me is just to create and not be editing as I'm creating.
That's really well said.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's really, you know. I think that, and then I'll end my part of this by saying, I think for me, you know, that be it in my spiritual life, like I've said, like you've enunciated, you know, a few minutes ago, the gracious posture of holding things more open-handed, you know, be it for me, like being less judgmental of myself or, you know, and not to just let things slide. That's not what I'm trying to say, but, you know, just not beating myself up about things. But also I think occupationally, honestly, too, like with all the shows I've got this year, there's a lot of, you know, expectation and anxiety around those and how they're going to go and what if nobody shows up. But really trying to be like, it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. If there's 25 people at one of these shows, it's still completely okay.
Right.
And not, I've used this word too much, right? But just not onboarding all of the things that come with that. It's like, it's over. Nobody cares.
Right.
If I had it, it's gone. If, you know, and I probably didn't have it. So, but just going, it's just okay.
Can't lose something that you never have.
So I think for me, like you said, not just spiritually, occupationally, like just a little more grace in my life for like, it's okay. Like all this stuff is okay. If people don't love the record, like I wish that it's okay. Like it's all okay. Like
can you imagine if we could see ourselves the way that we see our kids?
Oh my gosh.
You know, like 'cause my girls are in the drama club at school and you know, the play is in a couple months and it's just, you can kind of see them. They're getting their parts and they got their script and they're practicing and you're just like, it doesn't matter. None of it. It's all going to be, you're already amazing.
Yeah.
It feels like crazy to even think that I could view myself that way. You know what I mean? But it's like, that's how I'm viewing my kids.
I mean, dude, think about how the Lord sees us.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point about kids, it's like, Oh, that ruins me. I'm like, what am I so stressed out about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is all going to be okay.
It's already
yeah.
great. You're
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. Look at that. What a great way to end this episode.
It's all good,
It's all good. It's all okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I will say, I am really excited about this year with interviews. We have gotten some slammers. I kind of want to end there. Oh my God, just aged 40 years in one sentence.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.